plate a potential nugget.
Changing tracks, Rajiv, you also talk about delegation. And I liked one of the things you say, where you say that, I quote, leaders who are exceptional at delegation don't just delegate what they can't do. They do only those things that no one else can. Can you bring this to life for us with an anecdote or two?
Yeah, I think, the basic premise here, Deepak, is that typically for leaders or, any executive, when work flows to them, like whether it's a new idea, new strategy, new innovation, product, technology, whatever, the tendency is that, okay, let me grapple with it. Let me see how we can do it. And then I'll divvy it up to some of my team members, et cetera, et cetera. And invariably the tendency is to jump into the work. And then when you sooner or later realize that, it's you can't do everything, then you start delegating it to others. So it's like that's what I say, that you delegate what you can't do, not from a capability point of view, but literally from a bandwidth point of view. Because, you can, hopefully most leaders can do what their team members are doing quite well as well, except for some very specialist skills. But the smart leaders that I've seen, what they do is that they, anything that they are starting or coming to them or, external, internal, their instinct is, who in my team can do this? Who's best suited for this idea? Whether it's innovation, technology, external networking, talking to the government, whatever the thing may be. Their instinct is to engage someone else. And only if there is something that nobody in their team can do because it's something either so crucial or, only their presence is required, et cetera, will they get involved with. And that's the whole sort of the paradigm, that good leaders delegate what they can't do, which is in terms of time. But the great leaders do only that which nobody else in their team can do. So as a result, what it does is it does two things. One is it is hugely empowering for team members. And equally, it actually creates the space and the time and bandwidth for the leaders to engage with the most important things. Because the other paradigm is that, managers do things right? As we grow in our careers, we get so obsessed with this being Mr. Misreliable, and that creates this whole perfectionism, et cetera, which is a great trait, when you're junior middle management. But when you get to leadership positions, it actually is dilutive. And so managers do things right, but leaders do the right things, as in they focus on the most important. So when they delegate so aggressively, so ruthlessly, that's when they create the time for engaging with the most important. So that's what leads to huge effectiveness. So their thing is, again, just to bring some more detail into it, let's say it's like, every time people get called for a meeting, and you try and attend that meeting. And we know in corporate life, maybe a third of meetings, we are thinking, hey, why am I here? Right? Did we really need this meeting? But this leader is going to start by saying, do we need this meeting? If the answer is yes, do I need to attend this meeting? Maybe I'll send somebody else from my team. Why do I have to? What is so crucial? Just because it's protocol? No, that's not good enough. Do I need to, will I add value, or can my deputy add equal value? If he or she can do it, then let them attend. Even if the answer to that is now, yes, you still need to attend because it's really, really important for you, then the question is, do I need to attend it now? As in when the meeting is being called, or, if I'm busy, can I push it away? So it's in the light of both empowerment and aggressively protecting their time that great leaders, sort of follow this kind of a principle. So. Yeah.
I'm reminded of an episode where I had just joined Agonzender, the search firm I worked with for 6 years. This must have been a year or two in the job, around 2012, 2013, I'm guessing. I was experiencing a little bit of a crisis situation in one of the searches, and I remember going up to Govind Iyer, who was the office leader and who continues to be my friend and mentor, to get him to intervene. As I rambled on and giving him the context, he stopped me dead in my tracks, and he said, is the client relationship at risk? I remember being taken aback by the directness of the question. I must have paused for about 10 seconds and I said, no. Then he looked me in the eye and said, then you go and deal with it. You don't need me. That was it. And to me, that was a really powerful lesson in terms of understanding how he prioritized his time on the most value additive activities. And that also gave me the ability to problem solve and build muscle around some of the tactical issues that arise around a search. When I work with leaders, I often ask them, what is it that you and only you can do in an organization? Be ruthless about ensuring that you make time and mind space for those activities and aggressively delegate the rest.